Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look out! It's only films to be buried with.
Hello, and welcome to Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein. I'm a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, a milliner, and I love films. As Haruki Murakami once said, death exists not as the opposite of it, but as a part of life. Like how Riggs is kind of the opposite of Murtaugh, but he's also a part of his life, and they're all in a way like family. Do you know what I mean? That's a great point, Haruki. I do love those films. Every week, I invite a special guest over. I tell them they've died, then I get them to discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. Previous guests include Barry Jenkins, Kevin Smith, Jameela Jamil, and even Dead Brambles. But this week is the incredible artist, sketch co, and comedian Annie McGrath. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you get about extra 20 minutes of chat with Annie. We talk in depth about beginnings and endings. You get a secret from her. You get the whole episode uncut and as a video and all sorts of other stuff. Check it out over at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. TV wise, Ted Lasso season 2 is halfway through, so get caught up on all the episodes on Apple TV Plus. And also check out Soulmates on Amazon Prime. One will make you happy, the other will make you thinky. So, Annie McGrath is a brilliant comedian and artist and sketch co and writer and actor, and I've wanted to get her on air for years. I love spending time with Annie. She's amazing. I think you will love this one. We recorded it on Zoom last week. She was a fucking treat, as always. So that is it for now. I very much hope you enjoy episode 163 of Films to be Buried With. Hello, and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is me, Brett Goldstein, and I am joined today by a writer, a actor, a twin, a seven-year-old comedian, a sketch-co, a stand-up, a galleryist, a painter, a podcaster, an artist, and an inspiration to the world, and a hero. And a footballer and a netballer, please, and a rounder, please, and a golfer. Please welcome to the show the wonderful, the brilliant, the amazing, it's Annie McGrath!
Hello, I'm blushing.
I'm blushing!
Thanks, Brett. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hi, Annie. It's lovely to have you. Thanks for doing the show at last. Now, Annie, in case you don't know Annie, you bloody should, but if you don't know her, aside from all her wonderful comedy stuff that she does, she does a podcast. It's also a comedy podcast in a way, but in which it's an art podcast. And I'll tell you, Annie, you and Steve Martin are the only comedians I know who are also bang into art. And you've taught me a lot about art.
Oh, really?
She does a podcast. Tell the people who don't know about your podcast, because I love it.
Well, that's the good thing about having an art podcast, because people then don't expect it to be funny. So you said it's sort of a comedy podcast, but that's quite good.
I've ruined that.
No, because it's supposed to be an art podcast, but then if there's any funny bits, people are like, oh, that's unexpected.
Yeah, I guess art can be funny.
Art can be funny in a way. Yeah, so the premise is comedians doing art. So we paint something that the guest chooses. So you chose Buddy, the Muppet.
Buddy G, the puppet.
Buddy G, the puppet.
Star of Lone Island.
And we paint and have a chat. And it's quite sort of relaxing to do and to listen to, I think.
It was really wonderful, and actually you're quite clever because it's a bit like therapy because you get distracted by the painting and you end up revealing your true self.
Yeah, I think people are less guarded because you're distracted trying to draw or paint, so there is less of a wall put up, less of a front, so people do often regret what they tell me, which is good content.
That's the dream for a podcast, isn't it?
Exactly.
You're also a genuine artist.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's sort of... I did go to art college for a year, but I think as a result of lockdown, when all the gigs stopped, I sort of did more painting and set up a website and managed to sell some work. So I guess I am technically an artist, even though that feels like quite a grand title to give myself.
Listen, if you're a person getting paid to do art, I don't think that's grand. I think that's fucking amazing. It's rare, isn't it? I don't know any art. It's you.
It's me. I'm the artist, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's nice.
Yeah. Why did you decide to do comedy after art school?
I decided to do English and drama at Leeds, and then there I got into doing comedy. I joined the sketch group, the Leeds Tea Lights.
Yeah. You had a heck of a group, right? Who was your...
Jack Barry, my then double act partner.
Love him.
Max Dickens, Chris Quayle, Henry Perryman and Joe Barnes, who are now Good Bear, the double act. They got nominated in Edinburgh a couple of years ago. Just a lot of posh men, basically, and me.
A lot of posh heavy hitters, though.
A posh woman, to add some diversity to the mix.
really good. Films.
Films, yeah.
You into them?
I like them, yeah. Not all of them, but some of them.
Right, okay. Quite picky. Yeah. Oh, okay. We got a picky one, have we? Okay.
I think you'll see that I'm not that picky when you see my list of films.
Well, let's see how this goes.
All right, then.
Oh, shit, though. Oh, Annabelle. I've made a right mess of this. I've forgotten to tell you something. And I should have
acting because I knew this was going to happen and then I forgot. And I actually thought maybe you'd left something downstairs. But now I know what you're going to say.
I've left something downstairs. Let me go and get it.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
That's my dog downstairs. Shush, I don't get the thing. Oh, Annie, I'm holding your death certificate. You've died.
Oh, no.
Oh, shame.
Well, it was inevitable, I suppose.
Yes, that's a way of looking at it. How did you die?
Well, Brett, I think I'm quite a cautious person. I get quite anxious about, like, I don't like things that are scary. So I hate flying, don't like really being on the tube, get quite anxious. And I'm always the bag lady at theme parks. So I think that maybe I would die by like trying to be too cautious. So everyone else is on, all my friends are on the roller coaster, the scariest roller coaster, and I'm by myself holding all the bags, and then I get shot in the head.
So when you say bag lady, you don't mean lady who lives in the theme park. You mean
lady who holds bags. You know, when without wanting to generalize, men tend to carry fewer bags, if none, than women.
Yeah.
But you know, often there's people who have bags and I'd be holding on to I don't live in the theme park. Do you understand?
Understand that. So you hold the bags. So in a way, I mean, a couple of questions. What's heartbreaking about this is it's clear from the setup, you don't want to go to this theme park, but I guess you just want human company. So you've been invited. You don't want to engage in any of it, but you just want to be with people. And to be loved, you'll hold all their handbags.
Yeah.
Christ. And then you get shot in the head.
That sounds depressing.
It's made me sad. It's okay. Yes, it is depressing. Yes, I'm depressed.
Maybe I get shot in the boobs. Does that make it less depressing? Maybe my right boob, and then I don't die automatically.
It gives it something. So you get
shot in the right boob, and then I'm fine because the heart's on the left.
Yeah,
and then I'm like, oh, I dodged a bullet, and then bam, in the left one. Didn't dodge a bullet, dead.
Do you know who pulled the trigger?
Just the local sniper, I think.
Oh, right. Is this at Chessington?
Thorpe Park, Chessington, Alton Towers. I don't know, one of those.
So it's the Chessington sniper?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Do you know him?
Yeah. Do you know why he was targeting you and your, and in particular, your right and left boob?
I think he wanted, like, he wanted someone static so that he could get a better shot, because obviously people that are like on a log flume are moving, so it's a harder target. And I was the only person who was holding all the bags. So one boob, then the other.
So did none of the bags protect you in the boobs? Or I guess you were holding them by your side. I just imagine you holding them up here.
No, I had one on each. They're like tote bags. So they're all on my shoulders.
Shit.
Five tote bags on each shoulder.
If he'd shot you in the left butt cheek, right butt cheek, you might have been
Might have been okay, yeah. Yeah, my heart's not in my butt, so I think I might have survived that.
God, it's a shame he was a boob guy.
Yeah, you can't tell. You can't tell if they're a boob guy or a bum guy until they've killed you.
Until they pull the trigger, I guess.
That's the problem with men.
I'll be honest, Annie, this is one of the darkest and most problematic and upsetting deaths we've had. And this is quite far into the run of a podcast, so congratulations.
Thank you.
So you're scared of everything. Do you worry about death? Are you scared of death?
Yeah, I don't like the idea of dying. Quite scared of it. Don't want anyone I know to die. It's sad, isn't it?
It is sad. I hate it.
I don't understand why there's people that go on your podcast and are like, no, I don't mind it. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like the constant nothing.
Is that what you think it is? Constant nothing?
Well, I hope it isn't. But logically, I don't think there is anything afterwards. But I would like to believe that there is. And I understand why people, when they're dying, sort of go to religion and spirituality as like a final ditch attempt to continue.
Listen, maybe this is mad thinking on my part. But when you say, well, that it's logical, it seems logical that there's nothing. I would say, what logic is leading you to that? How do you explain your thoughts and feelings and vibes and stuff like that? Do you know what I mean? Like, what's your logic that says?
I guess by logic, I mean like science. And
right,
like
bloody science.
You know, I'm no scientist, but I think those guys know what they're doing.
But how do you explain vibes?
Yeah, I don't know how you... Is that vibes with a Z?
No, I'm not talking about a type of music. I'm not talking about one of your favourite bands, vibes.
I don't know how you explain vibes. Do you?
No, but I think it's the key to death.
So do you think the afterlife is pure vibes?
Pure good vibes.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, because if there is constant nothing, then that is hard to get your head around for sure.
Yeah. Are you quite accepting of it, death?
Well, I'm not. I hate the idea of other people dying, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm really, really not into that. And that's probably my biggest fear is other people dying. And I just hope that no one ever dies and then it's fine.
I bet there's some people that you're like, I wouldn't mind if they died.
if I had to pick and choose, then yes, I certainly could.
Name them.
Bloody all them, you know, the geezer who's I don't. The problem is I watched the news and I can't remember anyone's name, so I can't name the right people.
Right, but there's someone on the news that
someone off the news. And I'm not talking about the presenters. The thing of, am I comfortable with me dying?
Mm.
I did think the other day, well, actually, I've had a pretty fucking good life. If I died now, it'd be a shame. But I'd be like, yeah, the only thing I didn't do was jump out of a plane. That was all I had left. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, listen, don't worry.
Thank you.
There is an afterlife.
Oh, great.
And it's great, and it's filled with your favourite thing. What's your favourite thing?
Chocolate.
Yeah, it's made out of chocolate.
It's like
Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, but instead of ground, it's chocolate.
And a less chocolate creepy everywhere. Wonka, maybe.
Yeah, and the Wonka character is...
Is you.
Is me.
And, I would love that.
Is that less creepy? Hard to say. You'll find out when you're there, I guess.
Yeah,
there now.
Hello. Be nice. Hello. Welcome to the chocolate factory.
Welcome to the chocolate factory heaven. Chocolate everywhere. And by the way, don't worry. It's not like, oh, I'm sitting on a chocolate chair and it's like sticky.
Yeah.
Whatever you want it to be is the right thing. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's soft. Sometimes it's liquid. You want to eat the walls? You can eat the walls. But the roof's not going to collapse on your head.
Great. And you don't feel sick after.
Never feel sick.
Thank you.
Never.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah. And in this chocolate heaven.
Mm.
Everyone's obsessed with films, though.
That's a bit weird.
Which is, yeah, it's not an entirely weird connection, but it surprises some people when they get here.
Are the films made of chocolate?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's that film, Chocolat.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it, but I
which in heaven is actually made from chocolate.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing.
Mm.
What the people here, they want to know about your life, Annabelle.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to know about it through the medium of film.
Okay.
The first thing they ask is, what's the first film you remember seeing?
I think the first film I remember seeing is Wallace and Gromit, The Wrong Trousers.
Wow.
Which I absolutely loved. I had like a Wallace and Gromit alarm clock with the sheep that would pop out of a clock.
Did a hammer come out the wall and hit you on the head?
Yeah, every morning. And it had the da 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 da. That would wake me up every morning.
That's so great. Good.
And I had a big cuddly toy grommet, which was sweet. Although recently, not recently, maybe about 5 years ago, when my mum moved house, I came home and my grommet was outside the front door with like a load of other cuddly toys, and she was throwing them all away. And I was like, "Mum, why is grommet on the street?" And she said, when you get to having children, Gromit will be mouldy and your womb will have shriveled up. So I guess the idea was that I've got no one to give Gromit to currently. So it was going to whoever wanted it on the street. But that was a bit upsetting.
That's horrible. I'm imagining Gromit like sort of Dino at the end of Flintstones, just sat outside the door panting to come in.
Yeah, quite a good posture, actually.
Yeah.
He's quite. But yeah, I loved that. Wallace and Gromit.
Is that why you're an artist? Because that was your first film, Bloody Art.
Maybe, yeah. Is that, what's it called, that type of animation?
Stop motion.
Stop motion, yeah. Very cool.
Love it. Really love it.
Yeah.
What's the film that made you cry the most? Are you a crier?
I'm not a crier, no.
That's interesting, Annie.
Is it?
I realise, yeah. Because I was just thinking then, I was thinking, I've known you very many, 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 many years.
Mm.
I've never seen you cry. I haven't even seen you close. I reckon you're a robot.
I don't think I've ever cried at a film. There's some that have given me wet eyes.
The 4DX ones.
I've been accused a lot of being dead inside or having a heart of stone, which I don't think is true. I do cry like in real life, but in films, rarely.
That might mean that you're actually more healthy than most people. If you're processing it in real life rather than through fiction.
Yeah, because you can only process your emotion.
I can only cry in true fiction, yeah.
And that's why you don't go to the cinema with anyone. Is that right?
Correct. Correct.
But the film I've chosen is The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Love that film.
It's a great film. That gave me wet eyes.
Really wet eyes.
So I watched it in the Scottish Highlands. Quite a romantic trip. And it was just a really beautiful film, very warm and lovely soundtrack.
Wait, who told you you're dead inside and made of stone?
Just various friends. Like when I've seen, so live shows don't really make me cry either. So I've been told a lot watching comedy that I can't laugh out loud. So people say that I'm dead inside for that reason. But I think that's a result of doing comedy as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Do you laugh? Shows?
I do laugh, yeah, but I understand why you wouldn't.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm curious, because it's so overpowering to me watching a film, as in, when you're having wet eyes, is your stomach hurting?
No.
Are you feeling things inside your body, or you've just got wet eyes?
No, I don't think my stomach hurts or anything. Is that what you're describing sadness as having a sore?
Yeah, sore like having a stomachache and your eyes get wet.
No, just wet eyes, I think. I mean, there's like a feeling of emotion, sure.
Yeah.
But it's not like I don't think I've ever had a tear like roll down my face watching a film. Unless I've been lying on my side. You know, sometimes just your eye leak out of
just
one.
Just from dryness.
Yeah.
Lying on your side with air conditioning on. Yeah, then I've cried.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
But yeah, it's a really beautiful film.
It is a cracker.
Yeah.
What's the film that scared you the most? I mean, we already know you're scared. Given you don't cry at films, do you get scared of films?
Yeah, I can't watch scary films. Hate horror films. And I couldn't... Well, I was going to say What Lies Beneath, but that's not my actual answer. But I couldn't have a bath for like a year after watching that. I just hate horror films and used to hate going to like sleepovers at other people's houses. Because when we were teenagers, everyone just wanted to watch horror films. And I'd get scared and want to go home. But I've chosen Gaslight, which is from 1944. It's a black and white sort of psychological horror. And
yeah, this is where the term gaslight comes from.
Exactly.
Right.
So I first actually read, it's based on a play. I read the play and I did a monologue from it for my grade 8 drama exam and then watched the film. And it's very like melodramatic and obviously incredibly dated, but the psychological element of it is still like really distressing. And it's about this man who basically convinces this woman to marry him because he wants to steal all of her family's treasure that's in the attic. And he convinces her that he keeps like buying her all these jewels and like expensive things. And then they go missing and he convinces her that she's going mad and she's very careless and loses all these things. And they keep getting invited out to parties. And then he says, oh, I don't think you're well enough to go. And basically convinces her that she's going mad. And the whole time he's been, it's like giving her these things and then taking them away and pretending she's lost them. And so at night when she's in the house, he goes out and breaks into the house through another route to look in the attic for the treasures. And basically every time he goes upstairs, because of the way the gas lighting worked, when he turns the light on in the attic, the lights go down in her room. So that's why it's called gaslighting, because she was like, oh, the lights keep going down. I hear people like rummaging around. And he's like, no, you're going mad. There's no one else in the house. How can the lights be going? And it only happens when he's out. And then eventually he's discovered as being a psycho killer. But it's a very good film and it's scary, not in like a horror way, but it doesn't make you jump. But the way he manipulates her is pretty terrifying.
Two questions. One, what did you get for your grade 8 drama monologue of Gaslight?
I got an honours.
Yes. Question two, do you remember any of it and can you give us a couple of lines?
I can't really remember it, but it's a good bit at the end where it's in the film, it's Ingrid Bergman and her husband is tied to a chair. So the police officer has captured him and she's in the attic and he's saying, oh, you know, you've got me all wrong. You've got to untie me. There's a knife over there. And she basically picks up this knife and is like, is there a knife? I can't see any knife. You're going mad. And basically flips it so that he's gone mad. Nice. And it's just a really good bit of like her getting her comeback. And
nice.
It's a fun scene.
Excellent answer. What is the film that people don't like? It's not critically acclaimed, but you fucking love it. You don't care.
I don't think it went down badly at the time, but I wouldn't say it's critically acclaimed. But I loved The Parole Officer.
That's a great answer.
Is it?
That is a great answer, yeah.
By Steve Coogan.
I think you're right. I think that was like a sort of 3-star.
Yeah.
Didn't really do much. No one hated it, but no one was particularly talking about it. Great answer.
I saw it at the cinema and thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. And I then got to meet Steve Coogan at a show in Oxford. And I was so excited. And he gave me his autograph because I was really cool and asked for his autograph. And he signed it, Steve Coogan, brackets Alan Partridge. And I was like, who the hell is Alan Partridge? I just knew him
That's
from the
amazing.
Parole officer. It's like, why has he not put the parole officer? But yeah,
That's
very
amazing.
Funny film.
Also amazing that he signs things, brackets Alan Partridge.
Yeah. It was a photo. It's a signed photo. I've still got it somewhere.
Of Alan Partridge.
Of him. But yeah, brackets Alan Partridge. It's like a black and white headshot.
Steve Coogan, black and white, brackets, Alan Partridge.
Alan Partridge, closed brackets.
Wow. Not brackets, The Parole Officer.
No.
As you dreamed.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know why he's written, aha, I don't know what that means. And since, obviously, think Alan Partridge is great now that I know what that is.
Yeah, now you're really happy with that headshot.
Yeah.
You keep saying to everyone, see, that I told you that was Alan Partridge. Well, that's a real revelation. I feel like that's an exclusive. What is the film that you used to love. You loved it so much, but you've watched it recently and you've gone, oh, I don't like this anymore.
This was the one I struggled the most with, but what I've decided on is Bring It On, because I used to love Bring It On.
I love Bring It On. What's wrong with it now?
Well, there's lots of like slightly homophobic slurs and like fatphobic stuff and cultural appropriation. It doesn't seem to have stood the test of time very well, but I think I was obsessed with
really good answer.
Because I went to an all-girls school and we had two friendship groups in our year, and one was known as the Slags and one was known as the Cheerleaders. And I was in the Cheerleaders. And we had we had like polo neck t-shirts that said Slag or Cheerleader.
Did you dream of being in the Slags, or were you happy in your place in the Cheerleaders?
To be honest, I was happy with my place in the Cheerleaders. They felt like the I think we were like the nice, cool ones, whereas the Slags were like the slightly bitchy, cool ones.
So who, if one of those groups is the Pink Ladies, who is it, the Slags or the Cheerleaders?
Probably the, well, I don't know, there'd be crossover. I think there'd be a Venn diagram and Pink Ladies in the middle and then Slags and Cheerleader on either side.
It's a very different school than Rydell Hall, I guess.
Yeah, and also we were nothing like Bring It On. Like, it was a posh school in Oxford. We played hockey. Okay. We didn't do cheerleading. So I don't know why we called ourselves the Cheerleaders. It's pretty embarrassing.
So you were cheerleaders who didn't cheerlead, and were the Slags also
they
not
did
really
slag.
Molten rock? Oh, they did, okay. Cool. They held up their end of the bargain.
Yeah.
Good for them.
But it would be fine to have a top now that said cheerleader on, but I think you probably wouldn't go out with a top that said slag on, would you?
You might do.
Maybe
you
it'd be ironic.
Do. Yeah. You might, or you might be reclaiming, you know, you just might.
You just might.
You just might. Yeah, I can't. I'd love to back you on that, but I'm saying you might well go out.
I'd love it if next time I see you, you're still wearing a black t-shirt, but you turn around and it just says slag on the back.
Not a bad idea. I just might. What is the film that means the most to you? Not necessarily the film itself is any good, but because the experience you had around seeing it will always make it special to you, Annie McGrath.
Well, I went to see Mean Girls when it first came out with my dad in the cinema in Cornwall, where my grandparents lived. And we went to this cinema in Redruth, and we were the only people in the entire cinema watching it. And both, I don't know how old I would have been when it came, did it come out in 2004? I don't know. I was a teenager anyway. Maybe it's 2001. And me and my dad just both found it so funny. I was going to say we were laughing all the way through, but obviously I wouldn't have laughed out loud.
Yeah.
But it was just, I loved it so much, and so did he. And it was just quite cool being in a totally empty cinema in the middle of deepest, darkest Cornwall.
That's very nice.
And then me and my friend Shannon at school learnt the, she was also a cheerleader.
Cheerleader?
Yeah.
So did cheerleaders and slags not weren't friends? You couldn't be friends with them?
We were sort of periphery friends, but it was like you could be friends with individuals in the slags, but it was like if you hung out as a group, it would generally be like the slags and the cheerleaders separately.
Could you ever switch sides?
I guess you could, but once you got your t-shirt printed,
right?
That's it, isn't it?
But there was never like a meeting where it was like you've been hanging out with too many slags. You have to leave us and become a slag.
No, I don't think there were meetings. There was a room. There was an empty classroom between two of the classrooms that was known as the arguments room. So at lunchtime, there'd be like scheduled arguments.
And like a fight, but like a debate team instead.
Like an argument. Would
you all stand around going, yeah, go for it.
It would be less like physical fighting. And I actually think the arguments room predated the terms cheerleader and slag. But it would be like, apparently you said that to that person and then that person, blah, blah. You know, just classic, you know, 13-year-old girl stuff.
Was there like a judge in the argument room who would rule, like a Judge Judy?
I don't remember. Yeah, I'm not sure. Probably.
How did the arguments get resolved in the argument room?
I guess the bell would have gone for the end of lunchtime and then that would be it.
Right. So the grievances would be aired. Solutions might not have been found.
Yeah, I think so. And then it would be like, you go to geography or something.
Okay.
So yeah, Shannon and I learnt the Jingle Bell Rock and... Yeah. Gretchen Wiener's monologue.
Right. Did you perform them?
Just sort of to each other. We did did a rendition of Jingle Bell Rock at my friend Ariel's Christmas party.
How did it go?
Jingle bell, jingle. It was not good for audio. It's a dance.
It's fine. You know, the patrons, they need some exclusive content.
Oh, yeah, it's videoed, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But while I'm sitting down, I can only do it standing up.
Oh, okay. What is the film you most relate to, Annie McGrath?
I most relate to Bend It Like Beckham.
I mean, I already really like you, but that makes me like you so much more. Please tell me.
I loved Bend It Like Beckham. I watched it every weekend for a year when we moved from London to Oxford. That summer, we were like about to move house, and me and my brother were playing football in the garden, and I was in goal, and he took a penalty, and I saved it, but my left wrist bent so far back that I fractured my radius. And then when we moved to Oxford, I think it was at the time Bend It Like Beckham came out, and I just watched it every weekend, and I loved it. Hadn't really seen women playing football on TV before, and just found it so exciting and funny and warm, and yeah, just loved it. I've just recently joined a women's football team as well, and when I first went, I was like, oh my god, I feel like I'm in Bend It Like Beckham.
What team have you joined?
Legends FC.
Oh, amazing. And how often are you playing?
Every week if I can. In Hackney.
What is it? Proper 11 or like a five-a-side?
No, it's just a five-a-side team, and we all wear pink. But obviously women's football is like really big now. But at the time when Bend It Like Beckham came out, it wasn't at all. And even in the film, they reference like how big it is in America. And obviously at the end, they go to America. And David Beckham's in it for about 10 seconds walking through the airport. It's a great film. And Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is really fit in it as well.
Oh, yes. Very fit. Dracula.
Is he Dracula?
I think he's one of them.
I don't know.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Stadtsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of fit.
Yeah.
What's the sexiest film you've ever seen, Annie?
Well, I'm regretting my answer to this already.
There's no shame on this podcast.
You say that. I've put Chicago.
Okay. that's sexy.
That's the shame coming in. It is a musical, but the Cell Block Tango is very sexy. Mm. When all the murderesses in jail. They're called murderesses in the film, by the way. Yeah. That's not me gendering them. All the fit women who have killed men do the Cell Block Tango in like fishnets and underwear, and they're all smoking in this dark prison. And it's quite like empowering, but also fit.
That's it. That's a 60-point answer you've just given.
Oh, great.
No shame at all.
Out of what?
It changes all the time. Depends on what I need. But
that's the first answer you've pointed.
Exactly. So... You're getting somewhere.
So I don't know if it's good or bad because I've got nothing to compare it to.
Well, no, it is sexy, Chicago, and you're absolutely right. And that's a perfect answer.
Great soundtrack as well.
A great musical. Mm. It's a subcategory, obviously. Troubling boners, worrying wide-ons. What's the film you found arousing that you weren't sure you should, Annie McGrath?
Well, I didn't find the whole film arousing, but my answer for this is The Lion King. But only the bit when Rafiki is painting on the tree. Because the way he uses his thumbs to like paint the outline of Simba, you're like really slowly nodding, but it's like across your eyes, it's like she's lost it.
No, I'm delighted because I thought you were going to say the bit where Nala and Simba, you know, look at each other for roll around and then look at each other and go, ooh.
But yeah, I should have said that.
No, this is a much better answer. You like the fucking art bit. You like
only realised actually afterwards. I was like, oh yeah, he's painting. So maybe it's that, like with the hands. It's just a really beautiful, like simple outline of Simba.
Yeah, and it sort of drips. It's very sexy. But also, I mean, the only part of it that makes it troubling, I think, I don't mind any of it other than that he's painting a baby.
Yeah, but a lion cub. Is that okay?
A lion baby, yeah, that's fine, I suppose.
And he's a baboon.
Yeah. Yeah, it balances out, actually.
Yeah. And also, I would have been a child watching it. So it'd be weird if it was an adult lion.
If he was like painting a Mustafa and you were like, yeah.
Exactly. If it was Scar, that'd be worse.
You were age appropriate to be turned on by a baboon drawing a baby lion cub.
Exactly.
I just said come.
Your Honour.
And I meant no. cub. Baby lion cub. Oh, God.
Cub.
Forgive me. Really good. 26 points. What is the film? What is objectively the greatest film of all time?
I loved Fighting With My Family.
It's so good.
It's so good. I only watched it at the beginning of this year. Stephen Merchant wrote it, and it's But I realised I've got two wrestling films because The Peanut Butter Falcon is wrestling and Fighting With My Family is wrestling.
You love wrestling.
Apparently I love wrestling. It's just so good. It's really funny and it's got everything you want from a film. It's got good sibling rivalry. It's got warmth. It's got drama and it's nicely resolved. And Florence Pugh is amazing.
She's amazing.
Paige. I just thought it was brilliant.
Did you get wet eyes in that? I cried a lot.
Was nearly going to be my other wet eye one.
Yeah. I got really wet eyes in that.
How wet?
Like pouring wet. I said six times in that film I was a wreck.
I thought you said a wreck.
I was a wreck.
A wreck.
Six times I was absolutely rock hard. Wet eyes and rock art, the perfect combo. Are you an only child?
No. Do I come across as one?
No, I've just realised that you just said in that sibling rivalry and I thought, what's your deal with your sibling?
Oh, I've got a brother. So an older brother who's 18 months older. He lives in Australia. He's a doctor.
What?
Oh my God. I know, crazy. So yeah, maybe that's partly it, the girl-boy sibling rivalry.
Mm. And he's a doctor and...
He's a doctor and I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of rivalry there.
Are you close? Do you talk? How do you fucking talk when he's in Australia?
Yeah, we talk a lot. I haven't seen him for 2 years because of the old pandemic.
What's the time difference with Australia? How do you talk to him?
9 hours ahead.
I'm worried about you and your brother.
Yeah, but it's fine because he works night shifts often because he's a doctor. So actually it works out quite easily to talk to him. But yeah, it's sad not being able to see him. He's got a girlfriend who he lives with. We've only met her on WhatsApp.
As in visually on WhatsApp or just through text? Okay.
Sorry, WhatsApp video call.
I'd love it if it was just your brother sending fake text the whole time. It was purely text, but he was catfishing the whole family. I met this wonderful woman. Hi, guys.
Is that you or is that your girlfriend?
She doesn't have her own phone. It's weird that she only texts through your phone.
Yeah. Does she exist? Yeah, loved that film.
Great, great answer. Yeah. 105, 106 points, actually. That's just 108.
It's out of more than 100. That doesn't bode well for the answer you gave me 26 for.
What is the film that you laugh at? What film made you laugh the most?
Clown really made me laugh. Have you seen Clown with a K?
Tell me.
It's a Danish comedy, and it's very... silly and quite crass. It's sort of like Borat but a Scandinavian version. It's about a man called Frank who's trying to prove to his girlfriend that he's a capable father because she becomes pregnant with his baby, and in doing so he basically kidnaps her sort of five-year-old son and takes him on a canoeing trip with his best friend. But they get into all sorts of scrapes and like go into a brothel, and there's just some really funny, like, very crude scenes.
Is it done for real? Like as in, like Borat is with real people?
I don't think it is, no. But there's a scene where, I mean, it sounds so bad when you describe it, but where he comes on his mother-in-law by mistake. And it is really funny because his friends have basically told him to win his girlfriend's affection. They really like it if you come on them when they're asleep. And as like a last resort, he goes to do that. But it turns out the woman in the bed is his mother. I think I've got quite a puerile sense of humour. But it is, the way it's done is very funny. And I think because it being Scandinavian, like their delivery is really deadpan and really dry. There's some quite like offensive scenes, but it's funny.
it sounds really funny. And also interesting because your comedy is, I would describe as deadpan, but clever and puerile as well.
Maybe that's it then, what I'm drawn to. But do I get bonus points for saying a film that you've not seen before?
You get bonus points for picking a foreign language film and sort of being quite casual about it.
Oh, really?
You've done that a couple of times. You picked Gaslight, which is, a very old film, and you picked a foreign film here and you haven't made a thing of it, which is...
That may be cool.
You've said it like it's normal for you to just watch,
watched Clown ages ago and rewatched it recently and forgot and was really annoyed when subtitles came up. So I was like, oh, I can't look at my phone for like any of the film. So it's definitely not, commonplace for me to.
It's really good. You get 3 points. What is the, we don't like to be negative, Annie. So please be kind.
Okay.
What's the worst film you've ever seen?
The Notebook.
Wow.
I hated The Notebook so much. And I think The Notebook is an example of one of those films that I watched when I was like 15 with a friend. Mm-hmm. And she had the wettest eyes I've ever seen afterwards. And she looked at me and she was like, I can't believe you're not crying at The Notebook. And I was like, it's shit. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. But I wonder if I watched it now, whether I might change my opinion of it. But I seem to remember it being very boring and predictable and not that sad. Do you love it? Your reaction's like, this is my first wrong answer.
I know how much people love that film. It's a real favourite.
Yeah.
I could argue that it's quite cheesy on some level.
Yeah.
But I also would say it's extremely well acted. It's some brilliant actors, which elevates it.
Yeah, well, I love Rachel McAdams, don't I? Because Mean Girls was one of my top picks.
You watched it with your dad in Cornwall on your own, with no one else in the room.
But I think even Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling...
In absolute silence.
Couldn't salvage The Notebook.
I think we're going to get a lot of complaints.
Do you reckon?
And for that, I give you 70 points.
What will people say? Just like, oh, it is a good film.
They'll say, at the beginning, I felt sorry that people said she was made of stone. But then towards the end, she said that The Notebook was her worst film ever made. And I realised she actually is made of stone. And I should stop feeling sorry for her.
That's fine. I can handle that sort of trolling.
Yeah.
It's quite sort of well thought out. I've had worse feedback than that.
What is the film that you could or have watched the most over and over again?
The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Mate, I was going to mention that up top because we're talking about Wallace and Gromit, we're talking about stop motion animation. I'll tell you a little secret. Mm-hmm. I happen to fucking love stop motion animation. It's one of my favourite types. I absolutely love it. And The Nightmare Before Christmas is one of the great, great examples of it. I love that film so much. I love the music. I love the songs.
Yeah.
I love the stop motion. I love the character design. I fucking love it. Tell me.
Great. Well, totally agree with all those things. It's such a magical, beautiful. I feel like I've watched it like from when I was very little and could watch it, every day. Maybe not every day. I've got stuff to do, but I could definitely watch that over and over again. And it just feels, it's so Christmassy and so sad and so happy. And so the songs are great. That song when he goes into Christmas Amazing. Land and all the trees have those like beautiful paintings on them and it just feels so magical and like the most otherworldly of all the kids' films. I did kids then in inverted commas, because I don't know. I wouldn't say it is a kids film, really. But
no, it's quite dark. It's so beautiful. The end is incredibly moving, I think, the final moment. And if you have the soundtrack, there's a Patrick Stewart narration that is on the soundtrack that isn't in the film, that is like a set up, a prologue and an epilogue. Mm-hmm. And the Patrick Stewart narrated epilogue, I to this day think is one of the most profound things ever written.
Oh, really?
And it's so beautiful. It's just a little couple of paragraphs and it will change the way you live your life. I really love it. I think it's so good. And I'm sort of surprised it's not in the film, but the end of the film is equally beautiful and lovely. So,
yeah, and just that hill that Jack and Sally are sort of silhouetted against with the moon behind, the hill that like spirals into this really sweet shape. Yeah.
And Santa Claus is a great idea. It's a really funny idea that they've misunderstood what Santa Claus is. It's great. Yeah. Oh, great.
And then all the kids that get those horrible Christmas presents, like the head and stuff like that. It's great.
It's probably going to make you look back over the rest of the episode, but you get 1,019 points for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thing is, when you give me a high score, I'm really pleased, but then I'm also thinking, God, I got really bad scores for the others.
You often didn't get a score.
Ah.
If you keep that in mind too. Annie McGraw, you've been wonderful.
Thank you.
You've been an absolute delight. And you've had some excellent answers and some really good stuff. However, when you were at Chessington World of Adventures with all your friends, and they'd said, we're all going, and you were like, in your head you're thinking, I hate theme parks, I'm scared, I don't want to go on any of the rides, but I got FOMO, I don't want to miss out. And you said, sort of jokingly, but you meant it was like, well, I'll come and hold all the bags, And everyone thought, fucking great, because the locker system at Chessington is notoriously tricky. And so you went to Chessington, you sort of had a nice day, but a lot of it you were on your own. Like, your friends kept popping off to do rides, and the queues are ages, so you couldn't stand in the queue with them, because you couldn't get out of the queue because of those mazes. So a lot of time, you just had tote bags all over you. You spent a lot of time, you couldn't reach your phone. Sometimes you were like, you couldn't get to your phone because of all the bags. You just, a lot of the day, just staring bleakly at rides. And in a way, the Chessington sniper, who's a local sniper, and he's sort of, he's still getting better. And sometimes the rides are too fast for him. He started off bold, like, oh, I'll shoot people on the rides, but it's too hard. So he started with like static people, and he's like, that lady over there looks fucking miserable. Maybe I'll be doing her a favour. She's weighed down by bags, just staring bleakly at rides. And he said, I'll try a shot. I'll aim for her head. And he got you bang right in the right boob. And you went, what has happened there? And then you went, well, thank God my heart's right behind my left boob where I put it. And then he went, I'll have another go. Re-aimed, shot you in the left boob. You went, oh, man, I wish that guy was a butt guy. And fell on the floor under all the bags. All the tote bags covered you. So no one saw that you were bleeding because all the tote bags were absorbing all the blood and you died. And your friends picked up their bags. So cheers, Annie. And they all ran off cheering and screaming. No one noticed. And those friends, by the way, were the cheerleaders. And there they were. No care in the world for you. Just ran off into the night screaming. I'm wandering around Chessington with a coffin, you know what I'm like. And I'm like, where's Annie? And I see you rotting.
Already?
Because the rats at Chessington, famously, they're everywhere. They've started eating you. They've gone through your chest, left side. They've eaten your insides. They've come out through your belly button. I'm sorry, Annie.
You're giving me wet eyes.
This is what you chose, and they've devoured your intestines. There's stuff everywhere. I'm like, fucking hell, these cheerleaders are the worst group. She should have been in the slags all along. I knew it. So I get what I can of you. There's bits everywhere. I'm chasing down rodents to get extra bits of you. It's a mess. You've got bits of other people's clothes on you, waterproofs, everything. Stuff you in the coffin best I can, but it's absolutely rammed in there. There's only enough room in this coffin for you to take one DVD that I can slip in the side for you to take to the other side. And when you get there, it's movie night every night, and one night is your movie night. What film are you taking to show everyone when you get to heaven, Annie McGraw?
I think we should, that's what we should paint, that story. I think that's the short film.
That's the short film.
Yeah.
Lovely. The Chessington Sniper.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Should this be a film that I've spoken about already?
Can be.
The film that I think I'm going to take in my coffin to Chocolate Land is Coco. Yeah. Oh, no. He's got his eyes shut.
No, that's me smiling.
Oh, smiling. That's smiling.
Love Coco.
Yeah, it's...
yeah, that's what... that's smiling, yeah. I'm sorry, I don't do it much.
You know, you just shut your eyes. That's...
oh, is that sleeping? That's sleeping. Sorry.
That's sleeping or dead. Oh, no, dead's eyes open, isn't it? Coco, I think it would be useful to have a film that is such a beautiful representation of death and afterlife. I think that would be good for morale in the chocolate land heaven. And it's got a lovely soundtrack. It's just a great film. It's a happy film and a sad film. It's got everything you want from a film.
Yeah. Did it give you wet eyes?
Wet eyes, yeah. Yeah. I love it.
Lovely choice. Annie McGrath, thank you for doing this. You're brilliant. Is there anything you'd like to tell people to look out for, listen to, watch?
Maybe listen to my podcast, Secret Artists, which is on...
Recommended.
On all the places where the podcasts live. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram, the quietest plug. Don't worry if you don't want to. yeah.
Really good. Thank you very much for doing this.
Thanks for having me. Sorry about that last bit.
No, never apologise. Luckily, in the podcast notes, they will write up what you whispered at the end about your self-promotion. You're the best. Thank you.
No, you.
Have a lovely death. Enjoy chocolate heaven.
Thank you.
And good night.
Good night.
Thank you. So that was episode 163. Head over to patreon.com/Brett Goldstein for the extra 20 minutes of chat, secrets and video with Annie. Go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star rating. But don't write about the podcast. I don't care. Write about the film that means the most to you and why. That's a lovely thing to read. People like it. My neighbour Maureen loves it. And it also helps us out. So thank you very much. Thank you to everyone who listens to the show. Thank you so much to Annie for doing it. Thanks to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to Acast for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Latham for the photography. Come and join me next week for another smasher of a guest. I won't say who, but they're all crackers, you know that. So that is it for now. In the meantime, hope you all have a lovely week. And please, now more than ever, be excellent to each other. Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my name is Maureen. Yeah, thank you.